Dylan Voller, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Now, your lawyer asked for the media to give you space. He says it's not a good idea for you to give an interview. I know Bush Mob aren't too happy about you giving an interview either. However, you are an adult and you can make your own decisions. And you've asked us whether you could talk. So why do you want to give an interview today?
Just to get an insight of what it's really like in prison and what I am really like.
You've only been out of prison for a couple of weeks, though.
Yep.
Is this the wisest move for you at this point?
Yeah, I do believe it is.
Would it not have been wiser to just wait a little bit longer to get your feet on the ground, to stay in rehab, to get some of those skills?
No, I believe it's the right timing now to do.
What's it been like at Bush Mob for you?
Yeah, it's good. I've had a lot of help off the workers there.
Give me a picture, if you can, as to what it's like there day in, day out.
The bush trips, go out riding horses, help us get licenses, help us set us up with jobs, cooking, cleaning.
And you're finding it a supportive place to be?
Yep.
What's it like making the change from being in detention to being at Bush Mob? What are the differences that you're feeling?
It's still a bit hard settling back into the community, but it's got the right support around me.
You're closer to your family, and yeah, your sister Kira is here. So is it nice to be back with family, and has that been a supportive thing for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've had my brother and my sisters and helped me do everything over the last couple of weeks.
What time do you get up at Bush Mob, and what does the day involve?
I wake up at 7 o'clock, have a shower, have breakfast for the people, and most of the people that go to school, all the young people, us other guys, either have to go out, look for a job or some sort of training.
And you've actually had some success?
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
Yeah, well, I've got a job now. I start next week.
Can you tell me any more about what work you'll be doing?
I prefer not to mention that sort of stuff.
But you'll be there for a couple of days a week?
Yep.
And what's that going to mean for you to be getting into a routine, getting into work?
Yeah, it's good because it's going to help me in the long run.
What do you say to the many, many people here in Alice Springs who think that you shouldn't have been released and that you should still be in prison for some of the really awful things that you have done and things that you've admitted to? What do you say to them?
Well, everyone has their own opinion, and I'm not going to force them to change their opinion, but hopefully I've proved them and they will change it by their own will.
Do you get messages from those people? Do you hear that sentiment in town?
No, actually I haven't.
There's a lot of pressure on you to succeed. In fact, I'm wondering if you may have put some more pressure on yourself by doing this interview, but is that pressure beneficial to you, or do you feel like there are too many expectations on you?
It's beneficial.
Because if things don't go well for you, there's going to be a lot of people disappointed, aren't there?
Yeah. Well, I guess the main person's going to be myself.
Do you have a plan for what you're going to do after Bush Mob?
Well, I'm going to continue working and move in with my brother and sister-in-law and just keep going with life.
Now, you said that you wanted to talk about the current state of law and order in Alice Springs, there's been a significant spike in business crime over January. As somebody who has in the past been part of that scene, and I'm sure you're hoping you won't be part of that scene again, what needs to happen, do you think, to deal with young people on the streets and crime here in town?
Just clear that up. I've never broke into a house or had any business crime at all. But I just believe that there needs to be more stuff to get the kids off the street, more youth programs, possibly even like Bush Mob, but 24-hour centres, and bigger to be able to take people in overnight and get them off the street, put a pool or have counsellors at night time so they can just pop in, put some beds there so they can go to sleep and then get dropped off at school in the morning. Most of the people that are walking around the streets these days are all because they've got trauma and don't want to go home.
And was that the case for you?
Not as much trauma at home, but just because I didn't want to go home because I was in welfare. Most of the time I was in welfare, I didn't want to go back to welfare.
And if there had been a facility like that when you were, say, 5-10 years younger, what difference would that have made to you?
I believe I wouldn't have probably ended up in jail where I was if I had more support and more people that I could trust and talk to, not just a little caseworker and then say, I'll see you for 5 minutes and go, someone I could actually talk to.
There's a few other things we're going to talk about. I'll get back to you in just a minute. But Kira, what's it been like having Dylan back in Alice Springs?
It's been... Sorry. It's been awesome. Yeah, I think I'm just slowly just adjusting now, really. Like, he came to my son's first birthday party, so I guess that was the real big thing that kind of hit me. It was like, yeah, he's home, he's part of the family again, and yeah.
Because I guess it's been a long time since you've been in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, he's, for a long time he's been in Darwin as well, like, which is, you know, 1,500 kilometres away. We don't get up there very often to visit him, so it's just a phone call. And yeah, it's not very often either.
We've spoken on the radio a couple of times as well through all of this.
Yeah.
Do you feel the pressure for Dylan to succeed here? Because like it or not, he's become the poster boy, in a sense, for going into rehab, for trying to be rehabilitated into the community. And if it goes wrong, then it's going to have some big consequences.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of pressure on him at the moment. But I guess, you know, he's ready for it, and he's an adult now, and he knows when he needs space and when he needs something. And I guess that's another thing that he's learning, you know, like all of us as people, we learn our needs and our wants as we grow. And I guess this is his first chance to actually grow, so it's all new to him. And as it comes, he's going to, yeah, accept it and I guess grow with it, or take it as it comes.
So. Do you hear the criticism from members of the Alice Springs community of Dylan? There are a lot of people who are very concerned that he's been released from prison.
It's funny, actually. I read comments on Facebook and stuff, but a lot of them are from, like, profiles that I don't know, like, and people that it's either a fake profile or someone who doesn't want to be known. Like, so it's kind of beside the point. Like, if they want to have a voice, and they've got to show their face. I mean,
okay. So you're saying if people want to criticize, then they need to.
Yeah, they need to be able to front up and say why they're criticizing. Like, and then the other people are, like, from politicians and things like that. And I mean, that's just a political agenda, and that's goes over my head. I've got no time for that.
Do you think that things are going to change because of Dylan's case?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I've already seen changes and people coming together because of hearing Dylan's story, and people speaking up because of hearing what Dylan has been through and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's, something's going to change. If it's not through the Royal Commission, it's going to be from the people either way. Yeah.
Dylan, one of the other things that you wanted to talk about today, and one of the reasons that you approached us saying that you wanted to do an interview, was to draw attention to one of your mates who is in jail at the moment. Tell me about Zach Grieve. Now, he's been sentenced to 25 years.
Yeah, the mandatory sentence of life imprisonment.
And what's your concern over that sentence and the fact that he's in detention?
He's actually in adult prison, and I've got to know him really well over the last, since I've been in there, and after all this stuff come out, and I've just known him, he's the most kind-hearted bloke. He shouldn't be in there. He didn't do it, and even he admitted that he's pretty much given up hope on the justice system, that he'd get his justice and stay in there. He's just trying to buckle down and do his time, but he shouldn't have to, because he didn't do anything.
And you think he should be released?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think he should be released in a similar way to you? Should he be going to rehab? Should he be going to Bush Mob?
Nah, be honest, I think he should be free. He's never been in trouble with the police in his life. It's the first time, and he didn't even do it. So he's pretty much been punished for not wanting to do something.
A change.org petition has been launched. That's calling for what? For the government to change?
To change the mandatory sentencing and pardon Zach Grieve.
And do you think that's going to be successful?
Yeah, hopefully. And I recommend people to sign the petition, or at least check out the website.
So, Dylan, you're at Bush Mob. You're going to be at Bush Mob for the next few months.
Yeah.
You're starting some work next week, which is good. What plans do you have to stop yourself from reoffending again?
Well, I've already split the people that I used to hang around with. I don't hang around with them anymore. Just making new people and positive people to be around. Also, I've got positive support, people like Joey Williams, stuff like that keeps me on the ground. And some of the old welfare workers, also been going to the gym with an old Don Dale worker who's pretty good to me, and he's helping me out to stay out of trouble, and just being around my family and my role models, like my brother and my sister-in-law, and just keeping busy.
Do you feel nervous?
Sometimes, because there's been a few times where I've been out uptown and I've had people come up, know who I am, and just pretty much give me a hug and support me. I mean, and it also it motivates me to do the right thing, where I have all the young kids up here yelling at my name and coming up and saying hello. So it really motivates me to do the right thing.
So you actually, I was talking about the criticism that there's been of you, but you've actually felt like there's a whole lot of support out there from all sorts of people in town.
There's been a lot of support. I've had people, old, young, even like 10-year-old, 12-year-old kids coming up saying my name, or every time I drive past, yelling at my name.
And what difference does that make to you?
It motivates me just to help them and try and so they can have better than how I did, not go to jail and have to put up with it.
Is there not the element of danger there, though, that you become a celebrity through this, when actually you are somebody who is in rehab, needs to stay in rehab and needs to get back on the right track?
Yeah, I wouldn't class it as a celebrity, just as a person, as hopefully a role model, and I can become a role model and help these young people out as well.
What do you hope comes out of the Royal Commission? Because it was the image of you that was a key part in the Royal Commission actually being called. So what changes do you hope come as a result of it?
Well, I believe the commissioners that they have now will do the right things and put in place so this sort of stuff doesn't happen to young people. They've already, I mean, the politicians have already made the right decision by getting rid of the restraint chair. But I think it's the attitude of guys that they need to look at and who they hire. Because at the moment, they're just hiring people that are big and know how to restrain people. When really, they just need the people that can sit down and actually have a conversation and chat with the young people.
Do you think your conduct inside Dondale should have been any different to what it was?
Yeah, I do believe I should have behaved a lot better, but it's hard. It wasn't that easy. I wish I could have, but...
Kira, from a family perspective, what do you and the rest of your family do next for Dylan?
We're all just there to support him. I mean, he's blowing us away every day. Like, I'm really trying to slow him down more than anything because he's rushing into it all. But, yeah, he seems like he's got it all under control. Like, Bush Mob are really supportive, and my brother and my sister-in-law and my mum, and, you know, we're all kind of on the same page, just working towards, trying to help him repatch the last, I guess, couple of years of his life back together and get back to school and education and job and being an uncle and a big brother, little brother.
Well, Dylan, thank you for coming in. Thank you for talking to us this afternoon. Thank you for taking the time, and I hope that maybe we can chat a bit later on down the track. Is there anything else that you wanted to say?
I'll just put a little message out there to everyone that's still in the justice system, just to hold on and be strong, and hopefully they can change the way they think and get out.
Dylan Voller, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
And Kira, thank you as well.
Thank you.